glasses.
That's so dumb.
Felger.
Oh, you idiot.
And Mass.
Holy crap.
Felger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Runners will be off with a crack of the bat with two outs. Kimbrel deals. Bregman in the air. Left field. Wow, what a game, what a finish.
All right, your reaction, final hour here on Felger and Maserati. The lineups are out for tonight. Real quick note, I want Maz's thoughts on the Red Sox lineup. There were some changes there, and what do you think it means, and just your thoughts on it.
Okay, so the ones that catch my attention, Mitch Moreland at first base has not played first base the whole series. He has excellent, excellent career matchup numbers against Justin Verlander. That was obviously true early in the series, and they didn't play him, so they clearly think he's healthier now and can play the field, but his career OPS against Verlander, 847. So he's in there, and Kinsler at second base, which is the opposite direction. Right, Holt played game one against Verlander and got absolutely manhandled. Struck out three times, if you remember it. So Cora clearly saw something there they didn't like, to go with Kinsler there. So it does feel to me, though, like you're getting better defense on the right side of the infield all the way around. And so it'd be interesting to see how Cora explains that, whether Moreland's matchup numbers factored in or whether it's really designed for more defense on that side of the infield. For the Astros, you have the most notable change is Mariznick in center field. Getting a right-handed bat in there against Price. You know, he doesn't have great matchup numbers or anything of the like. Kemp is still in left, which means they don't have Altuve on the field because he's moving right. I mean, I think that's an easy one. But, you know, they want another right-handed bat in there against Price, probably to bring that short left field porch into play. I mean, he's looking for offense, right?
Okay, Price ain't going long. I think it's gonna be hard for him to get a win.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be hard for him to go five innings.
So I think if they get four, they're happy.
Who backs him up?
Good question. I think it depends on the score, but I probably would say Joe Kelly.
Again,
that'd be my guess. I mean, I don't remember. Did Kelly pitch game three?
Yeah, I can't remember.
So I don't remember either. But my guess would be, if you have the lead, my guess is, or the game's close, it's Kelly. And then, you know, you're looking at Barnes can go longer than Brazier tonight. So maybe Brazier gives you an out and Barnes gives you the inning and a third or whatever, and you get to Kimbrel.
Okay, you like Houston tonight?
I do. I think the matchup favors Houston. Yeah, look, Verlander's on regular rest. Price is on short rest.
No. If this were 10 years ago, if this were my entire baseball lifetime until recently, you'd look at the pitching matchup and say, well, this one's going back to Boston.
Sure.
They got Verlander going. But it's just... doesn't seem to work that way anymore, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. And look, I don't like that part of it for lots of reasons. We, you know, that's a topic for another day. But I do think Verlander's one of the few guys that the manager's going to be inclined to let go a little bit. So, you know, what did he pitch the first game? Six? Like, in this day and age, you know, in this postseason, six might as well be eight. Mm. So I think Verlander's going to go a little bit. Price, I don't know.
Back to your thoughts, as promised. Bobby in Cumberland, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Bobby.
How you doing, sir? Just want to talk about the Kemp play. How it was a bad call, and just lay it out real quick. The fact that he's the fastest guy in the team, that's one, so stay in first base. Craig Kimbrel has been known to spike a ball in the dirt at any given notice. He doesn't know where the ball is going. And you have the top of the order coming up. So it was just a bad play all around. It took him out of the inning. That's my thought. Thank
Bobby,
you.
So true. I mean, brilliant play by Betts. Again, this is to lead off the eighth inning. Kimbrel in. Kemp laces a liner down the right field line and goes for two, and Betts spins and throws him out with a brilliant play. Great play by Betts. He shouldn't have gone. And all the things you said are true, but even if those things weren't the case, there are three runs down. You need base runners, period. It doesn't matter whether he's on first or third. What matters is the guy's coming up behind him. They just need you on base.
I mean, let's say he gets to second with the double and the next guy singles.
Does nothing.
You know what the third base coach does? Holds him up.
They're in the exact same spot.
He holds him up. So again, that's just dumb. I mean, that's just stupid base running. And I thought the Astros made a ton of stupid plays last night.
More on that play. Howard and Randolph, your thoughts. Howard! Howard says Kemp's hand was on the bag.
No, not even close. He was out.
They tagged him on the helmet before he was a foot before the bag. Not even close. for all the Jackie Bradley love, a very interesting question facing this team coming up next week when they get to the World Series. Andrew in the truck, go ahead.
Hey, man, I've got a question for you. With them going traveling to the NL, either the Brewers or the, you know, the Dodgers, hopefully that's the Brewers, so I can see Michael, you know, freak out. What would you do with the lineup with the outfield? Would JD having to play right field? Can Mookie go to third base? Because I honestly think he would do better than anybody there.
Okay, we're already talking World Series lineup. I think it's okay. I think it's more interesting with Bradley. For all the Bradley love that's out there, for all the Bradley love, and you should. You should be the Bradley people should be beating their chest. They should. World Series. Someone's got to sit out there. Because pitcher hits, so you lose a designated hitter. Someone's got to sit. The Dodgers have Kershaw and Ryu, who are incredible lefties. And even is Hill a lefty?
Yeah, Rich Hill's
Rich
a lefty.
Hill,
too,
yeah, Rich Hill's a lefty. So three of their four guys are lefties, and the first two are freaking really hard. And Hill must be hard on lefties, too, with that big sweep and breaking ball
absolutely
that he's got.
You would think.
So it's either Benintendi or Bradley sit. What do you do?
I honestly haven't gotten that far, but instinctively, I think that it's a big outfield in L.A. Cora, I think Cora's going to lean defense. I do. Depending on...
He's going to sit Benintendi.
Probably.
That's what you're saying.
Probably.
And where does Martinez play?
Probably left.
Good. Take that, Jones.
Because you want the better arm in right field, and the, you know, the dimensions at L.A. are even all the way around, right?
Yeah.
So it's a circular outfield.
Yep.
So and I got to look at some of the ballpark stuff on that. I'm not that far ahead yet, but my guess is that Benintendi will be the guy who sits.
Okay.
I doubt they're going to take Bradley out of center field in that ballpark.
Story for another day. Maybe even tomorrow. Steven Webster. Go ahead, Steve.
I had a question. Back earlier in the year, one of the Cleveland pitchers accused the Houston pitchers of, like, doing some weird stuff.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if their numbers changed after that accusation. The other quick thing is that the best defensive play, how about the end of the ALDS?
End of the ALDS this year.
Oh, that was a Nunez play.
Good play.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This was better.
Doesn't rise to the level this
time. No, this was better.
No. The Benintendi catch has rightfully been dubbed an all-timer. And I think it should be. I think it should be, given the stakes and the risk that he took. You know, let's say he charges that ball and it gets behind him for a 3-run triple and you lose the game.
Oh, it's one of the great boners of all time.
So that's what makes it so. It was a high wire act, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Would we be talking about
Merkel's boner. Isn't that the play?
Merkel's boner? What was Merkel's boner?
I think he ran the wrong direction or something.
Yeah, something with the Giants a billion years ago.
Merkel's boner. Ask Buck and Doris and Ben Shaughnessy. They'll tell you. What? What was I just saying?
Oh, I've been if up the ball got by Benintendi.
I've been up so late with these games. It's tell just me so it. Ridiculous.
I know.
If the ball got by Benintendi, would we be ripping him today?
Yes.
Yes,
we would be. Of course we would be.
I want to be fair. I want him to make that play right there.
I know, but that's not the point. You're right. I mean, like you say, no, go try to make the play. Otherwise, you're wussing
it. And it's easy to justify it now because he made the play. But I want him to, especially the way Kimbrel's going. He felt like he was going to blow it anyway. You got to try for a big defensive play there.
So listen, I'm not telling you wrong to think that way. I'm just telling you that we would be ripping him.
All right. Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, that is our default position.
But the other thing is, I just look at it as one of those plays that if you go for it, you better make it.
And he did.
You better make it. Because if you don't, you will never live it down.
Here's Mike. He wants to weigh in on the fan interference. Hi, Mike.
And can we just be certain on something here?
Sure.
You wouldn't be ripping Benintendi if he missed that ball. You'd be ripping Alex Cora for leaving Byung-Hun Kimbrel out there for 6 hours.
Oh, that too. That too.
You'd be ripping. You wouldn't have time to get to Benintendi. In addition to two generational defensive plays bailing them out last night, can we also tip a cap to Joe West's ego finally tipping the scales in the Red Sox, favor? That, like, Mike, I think you're, like, underestimating it.
Ballsy call.
That's the look at me call. That's the humanoids in the outfield don't get to decide what a home run is in my park. Joe West gets to decide what a home run is in my park.
So you don't think, hold on, you think that was ego and not his eyeballs? Because I think he got it right.
He had, did you see the picture? I don't know if it was the Globe or the Herald, but one of the newspaper guys got a picture where you see Joe West's giant bulbous head in the foreground. You see Betts making the play in the background, and there's absolutely no way he can make that call from the perspective of, is his glove in the stands or is it in the fans? That's Joe West saying, I'm not going to be Richie Garcia. There's going to be no Huckleberry Johnson talking about how he stole a home run away from Mookie Betts. That's Joe West controlling the game. And thank God Joe West's ego was bigger than Joe West last night, because it saved two runs for the Red Sox.
All right, maybe it was him just sticking his nose in there.
So I just retweeted the photo because Shaughnessy put it out there. It's from the Globe. Jim Davis took it. And it's great because you see the action photo, and then right in the foreground, It's West's big fat melon.
No, I gotta look.
There's
it up.
No way he could tell. That's true.
Right, he's so far away.
Yeah, forget it.
This is gonna be about me. Damn it, I'm Country Joe West.
Now we gotta find it.
Byung Hung Kimbrel. What
excellent
a great
line.
Nickname.
Yeah, excellent line.
I still think he got it right, the big fella. More of your thoughts right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Altuve, right field, back there. Bats at the track. He leaps, and it is out. It's off a fan. No, they're saying off of Betts. It is in play. They may be calling it interference. Joe West made a couple of calls.
Mookie with the jump. He had it measured. It looked like he was going to catch it, and he gets stopped from catching it from the hand of the fan. Fan closed his glove.
And out is the call. Wow. But we did have a down-the-wall angle. Unfortunately, the security guard here leans out over and blocks
the camera of the shot down the line. Do I believe Mookie Betts went into the stands to bring that ball back? Absolutely. But the call on the play was that he was interfered with. They stayed with that.
As a break for the Red Sox. As a bad break for Houston.
What do you think I thought? What did I see? I saw fan interference. I've had this a couple times, or we have as a team. And they deemed the fan reached over into the field of play and interfered with Betts. Jose pays the biggest price because the trajectory of the ball looked like it was going to leave the ballpark. But we assume, and you can assume a lot with Mookie because he's an incredible athlete, we assume he's going to make this spectacular catch, jumping as high as he can into the crowd. I asked for a review, and obviously they're going to give it to us. And they reviewed it and came back with the same outcome. So once the fan reaches in, you know, past that line of the fence, we're going to penalize hitters every time. And so, you know, change that whole inning.
He went after the ball, and Joe called it out right away. I saw the replays, and, you know, I know the boundaries and all that. And I was pretty sure that it was going to be called out. You know, he didn't reach over the fence. He was actually parallel with the wall. So that's the rule, and we got the out.
The more I see it, the more I agree with Alex Cora. Parallel with the ball. Could have gone either way.
Cora says it pretty matter-of-factly, though. Like, no gray area.
Oh, come on. The close call. Close call. Could have gone either. Whatever Joe West ruled there on the field, it was going to stand. Because no replay, no angle, obviously. Could show you something else. So whatever he called was going to stand. And I think Joe, whether it was for ego or just what he saw, made a pretty courageous call. And I think he got it right. But, again, could have gone either way. So it was a good break. It's not an insult to say that. You know, it's 50-50, and, you know, you won the coin flip. So don't get too sensitive about that. You've proven to be the better team over the first five games. No one would ever say otherwise. And you get to clinch tonight behind David Price. How about that? That'd be so fitting.
Unreal.
A lot of second guessing, though, still last night, including Kimbrel going six out. Stan and Quincy, how'd you feel about that?
Well, I don't understand why Tony is so miffed about why he went with Kimbrel. What choice did he have?
He could have sent Barnes back out there, Danny.
Okay, but now we all agree, last night was a must-win. Okay, you had the news on sale. Porcello gave you four innings. You had to get 15 outs from your bullpen while still having an eye on tonight because there was no guarantee they were going to win the game. I mean, every time Houston is up, I don't know about you guys, this notion that they're playing scared is ridiculous. They're the world champions. Altuve is not a guy that strikes me as playing scared.
I'm not talking about him.
I'm sorry?
I'm not talking about him. Have you watched their
that.
Danny, have you watched their pitchers?
I understand, Tony. Look at the season. I understand that. He had no choice. Corey had absolutely no choice. And you know how much I hate Crouching Tiger. And by the way, you see how the fans are mocking his stance?
Oh, that was so great. How many they're in Texas and Houston behind the plate are doing the – oh, I love that.
It was
great.
Like the 86 Mets when the lady was doing the rolling arms every time he threw all these.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised Red Sox ownership hasn't manufactured mannequin arms, a strap on their shoulders for people to buy at Fenway Park. But, Tony, he had no choice. He had no choice but to get six outs out of him. And he had Price –
so,
available to come in.
So
last
Dan,
night,
Dan, how come you couldn't keep Barnes in?
Because they need him for tonight. He had one eye on tonight.
So they were saving Barnes for tonight.
Danny, can Kimbrel now pitch tonight?
He probably can't.
This is what I'm saying.
So Danny's saying they're treating Barnes as more important than Kimbrel.
To me, though, the way you do it, if you want everyone available, then everyone pitches an inning. Because then you just come back the next night. Once you start pushing guys to more pitches, then it becomes different. And so I think Kimbrel's in question tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know how many pitches he threw, but I would doubt that he's available tonight.
So, let's see how it goes. I suppose if they have a closing situation, because he didn't pitch in the first one, right? So if they have a closing situation, maybe he comes in. But I look at it and say, Barnes threw five pitches. If Barnes threw 15, I might agree with you. Or 20.
Five pitches.
He threw five. Five pitches. And he couldn't send him back out there? I'm not arguing about Kimbrel coming into the game. I'm arguing about him coming into the game for six outs.
We've got Steve and Bill Ricca for Maz. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, listen, after the Yankees series, Doug, you asked the panel, hey, are you guys satisfied now with how the outcome of this postseason so far? And Murray was like, yep, I'm happy, yep.
Yeah, I was a no.
And Maz was a no.
Correct.
Maz says no. So, Maz said, nah, I'm probably going to go to these six and put up a fight. So, Maz, twist it any which way you want. The Red Sox...
Are you satisfied right now, Steve? Steve, are you satisfied right this second? Right this second.
Well, now I'm getting greedy.
Okay. So you admit it.
Like everybody else, but
I'm going to cut you off there.
I mean, if they blow it, I'm going to be annoyed.
Of course.
Yeah, if they blow it, I'm going to be annoyed. Now, look, I told you, I don't think this thing is over, but they're clearly in the driver's seat. So I just don't love the way the pitching is set up right now. Apparently, Sale did play catch today. He's a go for game six. I think the Red Sox are now saying that definitively. That's great. Again, it was flat ground. I want to see what he looks like when he goes out to the mound on Saturday because he did not look great in game one. So let's see how Sale looks. But if they're now in great... I didn't expect them to be up 3-1 in this series. So now they're up 3-1. If they blow it, that's okay?
No, no. That's right. So they have to close the deal, but they're in great shape right now. And so, of course you're satisfied with where they are right now, but if the season ended right here with three wins in the ALCS, you wouldn't be satisfied.
No, absolutely not.
So talk about the fourth. Talk about that after they get the fourth. But they're right there, and they're going to get it. Mike in Hudson, I think, agrees with Dan and Quincy. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Mike. How you doing today?
Good.
Danny did steal my thunder a little bit, but, doing Kimbrel two innings last night, I think, they're setting up themselves for the Puddle, who's going to be out there tonight in Price, and, they need Barnes. Maybe he might throw three, above and beyond what he needs to do. And I think that's the way it's going to go. And then maybe even Brazier one more time, get in there and, throw another inning and just surprise these guys in Houston and walk away with it.
Okay, Brazier.
I don't sense...
Was he saving Barnes for tonight because he knows he's going to need him because of Price?
I can't imagine it. They're looking at Barnes and thinking three innings. I can't imagine. I mean, now look, it's the playoffs. Who the hell knows? I told you, I didn't think there was any shot that Chris Sale was going to pitch in relief in game four in New York, and there he was. But three innings for Barnes? When's he ever done that?
Well, when's...
Sale, when's Kimbrel ever pitched two?
And when's Brazier ever gone six outs?
So, look, it's a good... I mean, again, all bets are off. But I don't think they plan it that way. I mean, I think if it goes that way, then you sort of are forced into it. But I don't think you say, yeah, get three out of Barnes-y tomorrow night.
Okay.
You might see Hembry in this game in the right part of the lineup.
Well, and tonight, your closer, it sounds like, is Nathan Eovaldi, and your Game 7 starter. Most important guy on your team now for the rest of the series might be Nathan Eovaldi. Your thoughts, Anthony?
I'm sorry, Jimmy was talking to my ear.
When they got Eovaldi on Dombrowski, right, buddy?
So hold on, we missed a good blah. Yeah, how do you like Nathan Eovaldi and Dave Dombrowski now?
Like him pretty good.
Damn, Mike. But imagine we're dependent on two big games. How Mike he's pitching really in the playoffs.
Okay, that's the guy then. It's done, right?
He's got the stuff, Mike. He just never. I mean, look, Seal has really done nothing. Do you think we'd be in this position with Seal more or less not pitching, and now we're dependent on Price? And like Murray said, he'll probably win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, no one could tell me that you'd be effectively without Chris Sale. Craig Kimbrell would be horrible, and David Price wouldn't be any good either. I mean, that's really where you're at right now through these playoffs. And they're going to win the World Series.
And you're one win away from going,
so
right?
tell me anyone would have said that would have happened.
I didn't see that coming.
No way.
Not a million years. And again, I don't think it's wrong to say that when you really look at it. Their role players have been huge.
Yeah, I thought Sale was the most important piece. And once he had these injury issues going into this, it's like, well, if he's going down, they're going right down with him.
Okay. I mean, the performance they've gotten out of their role guys is off the charts.
Coming up next, we will get into the elephant in the room. The thing that you can't not talk about, but we haven't today because I don't want to bog down the show and get the calls on that and turn it into it. But it has to be addressed. It's the elephant in the room. It is, when you really think of it and step back, the most important thing to talk about in this series. And I'm talking about 4:33. We'll get to that right after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Major League Baseball put the National League Championship Series yesterday, game number 4, at 9:09 at night in the East. The game was over at 2:25 in the morning. The commissioner, I guarantee you, he was in bed. Nobody saw this game. And don't sit there and tell me, if you're Major League Baseball, that you didn't have a way around this. The Astros could have played yesterday at 3, and the Dodgers could have played at 7. It's bad enough the games are on TBS and quote-unquote FS1. This is the Final Four. This is championship big-time baseball. And the games are on TBS and FS1. That is a joke. And don't sit there and tell me there wasn't an alternative. There was an alternative. Come on! Everybody in baseball should be steamed about this. This is ridiculous. Why? Because of FS1? TBS? I mean, geez. I mean, they got garbage shuttles anyway. My God, what, TBS wants to have their part of the game leak into prime time so they can't start at 3 o'clock in Houston in Game 3? Nonsense! Who cares what TBS thinks? Put the game on so we all can watch it. Make it easy for us. Baseball makes it so hard to follow this.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room. And that is the nature of these games, the length of these games, the time that these games end. If we all rant and rave about it. That's Mad Dog, obviously. Chris Mad Dog Russo, Satellite Radio. He's just articulating what we all have to feel. And the thing about last night was a really entertaining game. And it was entertaining from the first inning to the last. Every other inning had lead changes, home runs, disputed plays, blown plays, made plays, all the way to the last out. From the first out to the 27th out. It was really a compelling ball game.
I mean, the only inning you'd have scoring was the ninth when there were two diving catches with the bases loaded.
Okay, is that right?
I mean, unbelievable.
So, like, I'm not saying that the game was a dud. The game was awesome. I watched every pitch. It took 4 hours and 33 minutes for a 9-inning game. It wasn't an extra inning game. It took 4 hours and 33 minutes.
Second longest in history.
But they're all becoming like this, and this is the problem, that they're all becoming like this. The game ended, what? Was it? I forgot.
It was like 1:15.
Okay, it was 1:30, 1:15, 1:30. I was up the night before. I'm sorry. I went to bed the night before at 1:30 for an NLCS game that ended at 2:20. How do you do that? Like, how is that possibly okay in any way, shape, or form? And as compelling as last night's game was, there is nothing other than listening to Felger and Maz that you can do for 4 hours, no matter how entertaining it is.
Agreed.
I go to Pearl Jam shows that they say are marathons, and Pearl, you know, Bruce Springsteen, marathon, triple encore. They're 3 hours or something, 2 hours and change, 2.5 hours, 3:15, a great movie's 2.5 hours. There is nothing. What do you consume other than Felger and Maz that lasts 4 hours? There's nothing, because you can't do that. But these baseball games, last night was not special. Last night was not different. You say longest in history? It's just degrees. Here's the time of games for this year's ALCS, and they have not had a single extra inning game. They haven't had a single extra inning game. 403, 345, 352, 433.
I mean, that's 4-hour average.
It's painful. In the NLCS, where they've had one extra inning game, 402, 331. And again, this is the National League where the pitchers bat, the catcher sucks, and every third inning is like it's a perfunctory exercise. Sure. It's three up, three down. 402, 331, 325, 515. That ended at 225 on the East Coast and 335. There's not a single game under 3 hours that's even close to being under 3 hours. So last night may have been more than usual, but it's the same thing every night. Every night. The 2017 World Series. The first game last year went 228. Okay, that was a good one. Here are the games 2 through 7 in last year's World Series, LA-Houston. 419, 346, 306, 517, 10-inning game. Not a 20-inning game, not a 15-inning game. 517, 517 for a 10-inning game. I don't even know what time that thing ended. 322, 337. This is the problem. This is the problem. It's every stinking night. Every night. It used to be these epics stood out because, oh my God, can you believe, you know, Carlton Fisk hit the pole when no one was up. It was 12:34 in the East, a full hour before last night happened. That extra inning game.
And that was 12 innings, right?
12 innings. And it ended at 12:30. 12:30. Not 1:30, not 2:25, and not the LCS. Game 6 of the World Series?
Yep.
And that was special. Here are the other time of games in that 1976 World Series. You ready? 2:27, 2:38, 3:03, 2:52, 2:23, 2:52. So when you get to the 4-hour epic that ends at 12:30, then it's like, that's generational. Now? That Carlton Fisk game happens every single night. Every night. Every night. It's stupid. It's dumb. And Mad Dog rails about it being on TBS or TNT or
FS1.
Quote-unquote FS1. It's not quote-unquote, Chris. That's an actual network, so you don't have to quote-unquote it. It's actually FS1. Quote-unquote FS1. You see, put things in quotes that aren't real or mock. No, FS1's actually a network. But they have to put them on those networks because there's nothing else on those networks. And when these things last 5 hours, you don't know when they're going to end. That's where you have to put them. If you put them on a real network, it screws up the entire programming for the entire night. And money's lost. And so it's just a matter of time before these World Series games go to cable too. Because Fox is going to sit here and go, we can't bump back Åkerblom until 1 in the morning in Boston. And so-and-so, like, we don't know when these games are going to end. It's patently absurd. Do you know that last night's game ended before the Bruins' triple overtime against the Blackhawks in 2013, which was basically two full hockey games?
That's crazy.
That game ended 12:08 into the third overtime.
And that thing was a marathon.
Which means, basically, they just about played two full hockey games. That one ended at 1 in the morning.
I just had to look it up because you had me thinking. I remember seeing that Kirk Gibson walk-off home run. Game 1, World Series in 88, 30 years ago. 304.
304.
I remember seeing it at a respectable hour, like 11 o'clock as a kid. That was okay. I could stay. You can't, if you want to get kids into baseball and watch this, and a kid, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan, a young Red Sox fan, they should be up and seeing Andrew Benintendi make that catch. They're going to do that at whatever the hell time it was, 1:30 in the morning.
The Bruins 1990 Game 1 Stanley Cup Final game against the Edmonton Oilers, in which there was a power outage for at least a half an hour and went three overtimes. Three overtimes, power outage, one of the most epic, meaning marathon, long nights that you'll ever hear ended before last night's game, ended at 1:22 in the East. So it's like when you would have a night like last night in the past, it was epic, it was all time, it was could you believe you did it, and it was actually a badge of honor. You know, yeah, I stayed up for that game. How could you go to bed with Carlton Fisk up at 12:34? It's because it was the only time that it happened. It happened once a year, once every 10 years. It was like a generational odd thing. Now it's every night. Every night. It's just dumb. And it's all the pitcher holding the ball is what it is. And so, like, it hurts the product. So last night's ratings. Do you think people were up to watch that last night?
No way. No.
I mean, there were.
I mean, I think a lot of people stayed up, but I think the audience gets smaller as the game went on.
So let me just give an example. The game did a 20. It peaked, a 20 rating, 20, you know, point whatever. The peak was at, and these are in 15-minute increments. So from 9:45 to 10, the 9:45 15-minute increment did a 25.2. By the time you got to 1 a.m., which was the final quarter hour, it was down to a 17.
They lost 25% of their audience.
So,
a third.
Okay, so whatever that math is, they go from 25.2 to 17.3. So 17.3 is still a very respectable number. But
sure it is.
But a quarter to a third, whatever that is, of the people who want to watch what is truly one of the most iconic moments in team history, the Benintendi catch, to seal that off. Any kid that might watch that, like he watched Carlton Fisk, and I don't even know if the kid did it at 12:30, maybe that's a bad example. But whatever. Anyone who might want to watch that and experience that moment simply can't. So a full third to a quarter of the audience had to bail at the most crucial, entertaining, dramatic part of the game. There's just something wrong with that.
Of course there is. Yeah, look, and again, part of the reason I'm not interrupting you is because you're not getting any argument from me. I'm a baseball person. I spent a lot of time doing it. And last night, and I'm not lying to you, the first six innings, as entertaining as they were, I found them to be a tractor pull. Now, once it gets to the seventh, I find the final three innings of any game to be pretty entertaining. But the first six, in particular, like the whole thing.
But I'm sorry. I didn't consider it a tractor pull. I just
it takes too long. Mark.
By the time it gets to the 3 hour mark, and you're looking at the sixth inning, you're saying, "As fun as this is, I can't keep doing it.
No.
I can't." And I'm someone who's watching the other side, too. So I'm watching some of these back-to-back games. I'm sitting there in my office with my two TVs, Murray. And, like, my back's about to go out. Like, I can't. I just, there's nothing you can do. I don't know. Maybe, like, nowadays people binge watch shows. And you sit there for, like, 5-6 hours and watch a full season. I guess some of you people do that. Like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, and then you just feel full of shame after you do it all day. Like with this thing, the problem is watching it, it can be fixed. And you talk about it. It's how the pitchers hold on to the ball too long. Like, did they just get rid of the pitch clock during the postseason? Joe Kelly, perfect example. He's the guy last time. Like, come on. And, you know, the guy doing the play-by-play says, oh, Joe Kelly stares in again and waiting for the signal. And Bregman steps out. And Joe Kelly looks, come on, throw the ball.
It's all about throwing the ball. It's all about now they're all stealing each other's signs, so they're all hypersensitive to that, and they all got to get their signs right, so the catcher has to run out or have to reset the signs. Then they have to throw over to first. I'll say the big difference, again, I'm watching both sides, is at least a game like last night was entertaining.
Sure.
Stuff happened. The ball went out. The ball was contacted. You watch the NLCS, you want to blow your brains out. Yeah. It is strikeout, dribble or singler. Now here's a man on first. Throw over to first. 3-2 count. Steal second. Strikeout. Next inning. Strikeout. Walk. Throw over to first. Ball one. Ball two. Catcher runs out. What's our signs? Manager comes out. What's our signs? Strikeout. Inning next. It's like there's nothing happens. Nothing happens except for strikeouts. It's one big strikeout. And it still takes 4 or 5 hours. And I'm gripped. I'm there for every pitch. But after, like, I get to the third hour, I'm like, I can't do it. I can't. Can you?
No.
Can you out there? As good as it is. And so it's like, you know, that rating dropped there in the last quarter. 1 a.m. it went to a 17, which was by far the lowest number of the entire 4 hour and 30 minute spectacle. And it's obvious. People got to 1 o'clock and they said, I can't. I have to go to bed.
And remember, these are people, because baseball is regional, right?
It's or not national. Go to bed. I can't keep doing this.
And those are people who have a vested interest in it. Like, think
totally,
of,
yes, right, exactly.
The casual fan who does tune in, not that there are that many of them, that person isn't sticking around anywhere near that length. Like, the people who care, a third of them are dropping out.
So the time is only part of it. It's like the time of night, I mean, 1:30. The other part, I don't care what time of day it is. 4.5 hours? It's a 7-game series. You just played 162, and you're now going to play 7 more the next round. You can't possibly need that much time. You shouldn't. It's the more the Mad Dog rant, you know, is so right about, you know, this isn't about casual interest or national interest, because a casual fan's not going to watch whether it's 2 hours or 5. And a 12-year-old kid, I'm sorry you've lost, isn't going to watch whether it's 2 hours or five. So you've lost those people. It's for us. It's for us who watch it. It can't. The product can't be like that. It just can't. And is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to go in the other way? I don't know. But it can't. I'm ranting like a madman. But I've been up till 2 a.m. for like the last 3 nights running, watching the pitcher throw over to first base.
It's like having a newborn.
And the catcher reset the signs 3 straight nights at 2 a.m. for 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours at a clip. It's absurd. So I'm sorry. That's that rant. Here's the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Two things to get to in the final word today, starting with a congratulations we have to give to you, Felger, as you are now officially a member of the BBWAA.
Yes.
With all your baseball viewing.
I am. It's like the Night of the Living Dead. I'm like a walking zombie because you. Folks,
everyone is.
No, he's doing it every night.
But I do it with two teams.
He's got the Brewers going too.
Poor right, bastard. Yeah. The Brewers on Monday until 1:35, 1:40, 5 hours and 15 minutes, and then last night, you know, it's like it's every night. I'm like, I can't even think. Like it's just ridiculous. But you wonder why, and everyone rants. How come they're on TBS and FS1? Well, how come they're on channels that don't have anything, that only have Skinamax? Do you know why, folks? Do you know why? Because you can't put them on network TV because they don't know when they're going to end. So the network affiliates want to go to their local news. They want to be able to program their channels. And when a game goes 5 hours and 15 minutes, you can't do that because poor Maria Stefanos is standing there waiting for the game to end and all those spots and the whole thing, the commercial load, you can't program network TV because you don't know what time it's going to end.
I mean, look, if you get right down to it, I'd rather look at Maria Stefanos than Ryan Brazier tilting his head.
You don't know when the thing's going to end, and it could never end. And these games never, ever end. They don't end.
So it just occurred to me that actually that's right. You're like, unlike Bostonians, you are literally doing it every night.
Every night.
I have 4 words for you. Welcome to the BBWAA. Yeah, no, the life of a baseball writer.
No wonder you guys are so miserable. It is unbelievable. It is just, wow, what a death march.
There is really something to it when you add that the music from This Week in Baseball.
Oh, yeah, no. No, I personally would like to welcome you into the club, bitch.
Well, here's the second half of Mad Dog Russo's rant about the MLB start times and the MLB playoffs.
Why TBS? It's bad enough to run a million channels. TBS, MLB, here's a game on FS1, but stick this one game on Fox. It's your sport. It's your championship series. It's Major League Baseball at its highest level. Let us watch the game properly, all parts of the country. And I don't give a crap that CBS wants to have a little leakage into prime time, so they don't want to play the Red Sox and Houston at 3, they played at 5, so they get a little prime. Who cares about TBS? Jeez, it's TBS. It's TBS. Garbage. Yeah, you think Manfred was watching this yesterday? You think Manfred, and he's a great guy. I love him. You think he told his family, honey, I can't, no, I'm sorry, I can't let the dog out. I got Brewers in the 13th inning at 2:20. He was snoring his ass off at that time. We don't know it. The serious baseball fan like me got screwed. It's enough already. Stop farting around. Use your noodle. Yeah, I haven't used to put the games on earlier in the day. Let us watch it earlier in the day. Give us a break. You sabotage your sport. Well, we got to get a higher rating. You're not getting a rating anyway. FS1 rating my ass. There's no rating there. Take advantage of the fan who cares.
The man is a treasure.
But that's it. It's for us.
So right.
It's
though.
Not for the kids. You've lost them anyway. It's not for people who don't care. They don't care anyway. Doesn't matter how long the game is. It's for us, the baseball fans. You do have. So right. And what's the other thing he said?
About TBS.
Garbage.
Garbage.
No, it was something else. Whatever. I could go on forever.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.